1 Corinthians 12, 25 to 13, 3 in the Message version. The way God designed our bodies is a model of understanding our lives together as a church. Every part dependent on every other part. The parts we mention, the parts we don't. The parts we see, and the parts we don't. If one part hurts, every other part is involved in the hurt and in the healing. If one part flourishes, every other part enters into the exuberance. You are Christ's body. That's who you are. You must never forget this. Only as you accept your part, that body, does your part mean anything. You're familiar with some of the parts that God has formed in his church, which is his body. Apostles, prophets, teachers, miracle workers, healers, helpers, organizers, and those who pray in tongues. But it's obvious by now, isn't it, that Christ Church is a complete body and not a gigantic unidimensional part. It's not all apostle, not all prophet, not all miracle worker, not all healer, not all prayer in tongues, not all interpreter of tongues. And yet some of you keep competing for so-called important parts. And now I want to lay out for you a far better way. I speak with human eloquence and angelic ecstasy, but don't love. I'm nothing but the creaking of a rusty gate. If I speak God's word with power, revealing all his mysteries and making everything plain as day, and if I have faith that says to a mountain, jump, and it jumps, but I don't have love, I am nothing. If I give everything I own to the poor and even go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but don't love, I've gotten nowhere. So no matter what I say, what I believe, what I do, I'm bankrupt without love. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut, doesn't have a swelled head, doesn't force itself on others, isn't always me first, doesn't fly off the handle, doesn't keep score of the sins of others, doesn't revel when others grovel, takes pleasure in the flowering of truth, puts up with anything, trusts God always, always looks for the best, never looks back, but keeps going to the end. Love never dies. Inspired speech will be over someday. Praying in tongues will end. Understanding will reach its limit. We know only a portion of the truth, and what we say about God is always incomplete. But when the complete arrives, our incompleteness will be canceled. When I was an infant at my mother's breast, I gurgled and cooed like any infant. When I grew up, I left those infant ways for good. We don't yet see things clearly. We're squinting in a fog, peering through a mist, but it won't be long before the weather clears and the sun shines bright. We'll see it all then, see it all as clearly as God sees us, knowing him directly just as he knows us. But right now, until that completeness, we have three things to do to lead us toward that consummation. Trust steadily in God, hope unswervingly, love extravagantly, and the best of the three is love.
Means go. It's great to have you here today for part 17 of Believe. We are taking a tour of the top 30 beliefs and practices and virtues. And we have spent time learning, you know, what do I believe about some of these straight out doctrines? What is it that I need to then do in action with my hands and my feet and my mouth, my life? And that's where we are right now. We're kind of camped out right in the middle of the practices, and then we'll be moving into the virtues. But we are camped out right now in the middle of practices. We're learning how to act more like Jesus. At least I am. And practice is hard sometimes. It's challenging. But the practice that we're talking about today is something called spiritual gifts. What do you believe about spiritual gifts? I wonder. Oftentimes, this is when I stop and I say, okay, turn to the person next to you and ask them, what do you think about spiritual gifts? Do you know what your spiritual gift is? Why don't we ask that? Turn to someone beside you. Maybe it's your closest best friend, or maybe it's somebody you just don't know. I know it's hard, but just I want to ask you that. Why don't you just ask real quick, what do you think of spiritual gifts, or do you know what your spiritual gifts are? Ready, set, go. Okay. Nobody talked to you. Do you know what your gifts are? Are you using them? I didn't include that question. I heard a couple of, I don't know. I heard that. I actually heard that. I wonder if we could actually get to that place where we can answer that question, what do I believe about spiritual gifts? Page 288 of the book Believe that we've been studying through. Now, this is mostly scripture all the way through. And we're at chapter 17, Spiritual Gifts. But on page 288, the very last page of that chapter, is a statement, always at the end of each chapter is a statement that says, this is what we believe. And I have to actually go through and make sure that Randy Frazee's church is a Baptist church down in Texas. And I need to make sure and go through and see, now, does what I believe line up with what Randy's talking about? And so far I haven't had any problems at all as we're going through. But on page 288, I've got it here, this is what he says. He says, what we believe, the one true God has partnered with his people to accomplish his purposes on earth. And the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, is the driver of this initiative. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit only indwelled select individuals for a period of time to accomplish God's purposes. The Spirit instilled gifts. He gave gifts to artisans. He gave gifts to architects, to priests, to prophets, and even to some wild and crazy guys. Samson, do you remember that? It says that he was full of the Spirit, and then he did crazy things with donkey bones. Crazy. But he was filled with the Spirit for a specific time and for a specific purpose. And in the New Testament, Jesus promised the indwelling of the Holy Spirit for all believers, and we're going to get there in a moment. That promise was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost, as recorded in Acts chapter 2, that we talked a little bit about last week. The Spirit deposits gifts in every believer for the express purpose of building God's kingdom on earth. I think I have that on here. The Spirit deposits gifts in every believer for the express purpose of building God's kingdom right here on earth. Each one of us is involved in what he has to accomplish. And in unity, we are to celebrate the giftedness of others and work together to accomplish God's will in our lives and in the world. Huge responsibility. You know what I think? I really believe that it's God's desire to redeem this broken world, to redeem the brokenness around us. I found out yesterday that someone I've been working with, their lives are breaking apart, and there's a divorce coming. And you know what happens to my heart when I hear stuff like that is I just break. I break for people that are broken. And I want that same thing that God is feeling to touch me and challenge me and to change me, to make me, to cause me to naturally, because of the love of him in me, I want that to be able to be my outflow, to reach out and say, oh, can I help you? can I pray for you? You wouldn't believe the hearts that'll melt when you say, can I pray for you? And I did. I took that opportunity to pray for this lady. I didn't know her. I knew her last name. And I said, do you know? I had opportunity to just outflow God's Spirit and just say, you know what? Can I pray for you? And her heart melted. What a beautiful, beautiful opportunity to be reaching out and redeeming some of this broken world. That's God's desire. I think that's the key of his heart. And you know what he's chosen to do? He's chosen to use you and me to do it. He has chosen to use you and me, us, the church, to redeem this broken world. The key idea that we're talking about this week is that, hey, I know my gifts, and I use them to fulfill God's purposes. The challenge is that I'm not sure that all of us can say that. I'm not sure, because there's something about gifts, the spiritual gifts, and we're going to come into this here in a minute, but there's something about them that for some people is, whoa, Pastor, slow down. Don't want much of that Holy Spirit stuff in here. Why? Because they're afraid. Why? Because they want to be in control of their own life and situation. And I want us to come to a place where we understand that God's intent for us is bigger and better than anything that we could ever imagine for ourselves. I'm not sure if you believe that. I'm not sure if you even want that, but I know that he has got something better for you, something better for me than I could ever imagine in my life, and I believe that he fills us with his Holy Spirit to get us there. He fills us with his Spirit to give us gifts to be able to share amongst one another. We are incomplete unless we are actually using his gifts. It's okay to come together in the body and to meet together and to share with each other and to love one another. But that's not all we're here for. He's called us to actually examine, find out what is gift? What is this gift that God has given us when we chose to follow him, given gifts? Anybody here not like to get a gift? Okay, ask it the other way. Who likes to get gifts? How many people get a gift and leave it all wrapped up and leave it on the fireplace mantle? You do that? Anybody do that? I remember the day when we were allowed to open one gift at Christmas, on Christmas Eve. On Christmas Eve, we were allowed to open one gift. What did that do for me, though? It wrecked me until the next morning. Because I want to open them all. There's something about that. But you know, when we come to talk about spiritual gifts, there's something almost like a, whoa! Take a step back and go, I'm not sure if I want to go there. And I want to move us. I want us to move closer to what God has for us today. And stay on script. Here we go. Yeah, since the New Testament refers to these specific gifts that the Holy Spirit brings, it seems that somehow we need to step into what God wants for us. What God wants to identify as our gifts in order to best use them. So some of you I know, I asked one person, they know what their gifts are. And then I asked them the follow-up, are you using them? And their answer was yes, right away. But for some of us, we may be at a different place. Maybe I don't know my gifts. Maybe I don't know what that whole concept of spiritual gifts is all about. Or maybe I've been in another church where I've experienced people using gifts in ways that challenge my emotional and mental faculties. Or maybe I've had just a really straight out bad experience. I want us, no matter where we're at in that, to maybe take a step closer to Jesus. Step in. What is so spiritual about your gifts? Well, see, there's when we stop and look at this, there's a short answer that we got three different things we need to talk about. There are some things that we may call gifts that are actually skills that we're born with. There are some things that we are able to do, a talent. Sorry, the first one is talent, and we're born with talents. I believe that I was born with some kind of musical talent dropped into me, and I just love it. I love music. I express myself with music. I express myself with my guitar and being able to sing. And I accept the fact that it wasn't a spiritual gift because I had it before. I recognize that it was a talent. And it is something that I was born with, but it's something that also is like a skill too. Because a skill is something that we can actually educate ourselves, we can actually practice, we can learn to use it more with experience and education. A spiritual gift is given by the Holy Spirit, usually at conversion. Sometimes we don't see them at conversion, but we see them when we actually surrender our lives to God and we allow His Holy Spirit to fill us. And it's at that time that some bursts and we recognize that, hey, there's this gift here that I need to do something with. There's some abilities, some of them like teaching, craftsmanship, administration. These can be learned skills. They can be innate talents, or they can be spiritual gifts that are given specifically. What's the difference? A spiritual gift, 1 Corinthians 12:7 tells us, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help one another. I love that. I love that God doesn't give us spiritual gifts just to use for ourselves. I really believe that He's given each one of the gifts. Each one. I'm not a cessationist. I have to start there. Some people understand that term. Some people don't understand that term. But there's this concept out there in our world today that believes that some of the gifts have been stopped. They were stopped when the apostles passed away, because they were used just for the apostles and not for the rest of the church. I'm sorry, I can't find that in Scripture. I cannot find where any of the spiritual gifts has ceased. So what does that mean? That means I need to figure out how some of these gifts that I don't quite understand, how they can be used in a nice conservative church like ours. How can they be used to further God's kingdom right here among us? How can they be used for the building up of the body of Christ right here? It's challenging. Spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other. And I think that that's the point. That's the clincher. See, a talent or a skill is developed to benefit self. It's about me. We've got beautiful people in this world that are writing beautiful songs and they're singing them and they want their money up front. The spiritual gift is given for the benefit of others and to advance God's kingdom. You can use your talents and your skills to help others, to build up His church. Absolutely. But there's a difference between us giving our talents and our skills to God and God giving a spiritual gift to us. There's a difference. Talents and skills are something that we're good at, that God can use for His purposes if we let Him. But spiritual gifts are something that God gives us specifically for serving and building up His church. They have no other purpose. Here's why this distinction really matters. See, when it comes to serving God, we tend to look at what we're good at and what we can offer to God for Him to use, and we ask God to bless our efforts. And the result is that we rely solely on our own strengths instead of relying on the Holy Spirit. And I'll tell you what, as a pastor, I can tell you the times of my greatest weakness, the times that I feel so worn out, are the times when I realize that I've been trying to do it myself. I confess, I've been there. Because some weeks it's hard. You get in the office and you try and get in God's Word, and you know what? It's hard. It's hard. And we ask the Holy Spirit, help me out here. Sometimes we don't ask the Holy Spirit to help us out. But we still got to get the job done. We still got to come up with a sermon on Sunday. We still need to go and visit people and pray for them. And guess where it comes from? My own strength. My own trying. That's my confession to you. It's real. But I know your confession too. It's the same thing for you. Is that true? And we try and do this Christian life just on our own strength. And you know what? Jesus never intended that. I love what he said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Hey, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will take my message around the world. Oh, and I long for that power of God to so flood my life that this becomes easy. But you know what? It's not easy. It's never easy. It's never easy to serve him. You know why? Because we got enemies as well. The enemy of us is this world, because this world has everything pointing to self rather than pointing to God. That's one enemy. The other enemy is the enemy of our souls. He's very real. He is the devil. He is Lucifer, if you want to call him straight. But you know what? He does not want us to succeed either. He does not want us to know the power of God in our lives. And he'll put everything in our way to stop that from happening. Even the thoughts and ideas that we might have about spiritual gifts. See, we rely on our own strengths instead of relying on the Holy Spirit. And the world then sees the church as only good people doing good things instead of the power of God working through his people to do what only he can do. Last week we talked about this whole idea of being knitted together, of the unity of the body of Christ. We talked about biblical community. And what does it mean for us to be brothers and sisters? And we brought Howie and Scott up here and we talked about them being brothers because of Christ in them, because of the Holy Spirit bringing the reality of God's work in each of their lives makes them brothers, connected because of Christ. And because of God's power working in and through them. And I believe that this is a further step of that. In fact, biblical community can never be correct unless we're actually sharing our gifts with each other. I remember one of those gifts I got as a kid. I can't remember if I got it as a birthday present or if I got it as a Christmas present. I can't remember. But it was one of those building tool things. And Meccano, I think it was called. Anyways, and I remember wanting to just play with it by myself. And I got in big trouble. Because I was supposed to share that with my brother. My brother was a little guy. He was several years younger than me. There's no way I wanted him to lose all those little nuts and bolts. No way. But I realized that the gift was bought for us, not for me. And I needed to share that with him. So what's so spiritual about your gift? I believe it's God working directly through you to serve one another. And for the purpose of building up our church. I really believe that God has put every gift in this church that we need to do the work that he has called us to do. Right here in this community. Every single one. Some of them we import, you know. Like some of our friends who come on a regular basis. How are you using your gifts here in our church? There's a good question. We're a very unique and diverse community. We've got people that live here all year round. And they're a part of our church, but we've also got some that are coming from Calgary, and this is their second church or first church, and their Calgary church is their second church. Some of that's happening, but we need to figure out how those people are to be using their gift within our church and our valley as well. It's a very unique and interesting dynamic of who we are. So how do we do this? How do we go about using our gifts? I love when I asked Lisa to read this scripture, I love the correlation between 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 13. So many times we take 1 Corinthians 13, which is known as the love chapter of the Bible, and we put it on a pedestal and we use it alone. We use it alone. We talk about it all the time. It's our definition of love. But we don't connect it the way it's supposed to be connected in Scripture. And so when you go there, if you want to go there with me, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Chapter 12 is all about spiritual gifts. All of it. The whole chapter. And at the very end, the very last verse, we usually include it just with chapter 13. But it is the transition statement that we need to understand, and it says this. Right after we're talking about all these spiritual gifts, start at verse 27. Now you're the body of Christ, and each of you is a part of it. And in the church, God has appointed first of all prophets, and first of all apostles, and second prophets, third teachers, and then workers of miracles, and those who having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with the gift of administration, those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have the gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But eagerly desire this greater gifts. We just stop right there. But Scripture doesn't stop there. Somehow when we put these numbers in, I wish they wouldn't have put 13 in. I wish they would have just continued on. Because we have ka-chunked it right out of Scripture. It says, and now, talking about spiritual gifts, and now I will show you the most excellent way. And it goes on to describe that I could use all of these gifts. I could do amazing things with these gifts that God has given me. But if I use them without the love that God has intended, they're all useless. All of them. See, one of the things I think is absolutely beautiful is that when we are in concert with one another, loving one another and using our gifts together, as the body of Christ is supposed to be, there's an aroma that comes off that I talked a little bit about last week. Biblical community brings this aroma, this smell. We stink. We stink of Jesus. And you know what people do with that smell of Jesus? They are drawn to it. They are drawn to the smell, this beautiful aroma of Jesus. So many times I read, about people who say, I love Jesus. I love the whole idea of Jesus. It's that church that I can't stand. And I'm going, wait a minute. If the church was really living out the life of Christ that we are called to live out and to believe, we would have the smell of Jesus and people would be coming to experience that same Jesus. This love connection. There's four places in the New Testament where spiritual gifts are detailed. They're talked about in detail. 1 Corinthians 12 and 13, Romans 12, Ephesians 4, and 1 Peter 4. And in every single one of these passages of Scripture, you cannot take the love of God out, because every single passage includes the love of God right in the middle of it. I wanted to turn to that 1 Peter chapter 4 and just read this to you. It says in verse 8, it says, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. We love that verse. But you know what it's talking about? Read on. Covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. It's one of the gifts. Each one should use whatever gift he's received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it with one as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. The love of God and the gifts of the Spirit, they are so intricately woven together, you cannot separate. God gives his people spiritual gifts as a way of expressing love to one another, for one another. Each one of these scriptures are connected with love. See, the point that Paul is trying to make here in 1 Corinthians 12:13 is that having spiritual gifts does not necessarily make you spiritual. It's possible for a church to have all of these gifts that are needed and for every believer to know what their gift is and still be a bunch of inward-focused, self-centered, handicapped Christians hobbling around. It's possible. The gifts aren't the point. Love is. If love isn't the motivation, if love is not the manifestation, the results of the gifts, then there's absolutely, each one of them is absolutely useless. But if everybody uses their gifts to serve each other in love as God intended, hey, then watch out. Watch out, because the aroma of Christ is just going to fly, not just in this room, but around us. We're going to take it home with us to our neighborhoods. Last week I brought my little card and I never got to it. But do you remember those little cards we did last summer? What was it all about? What were those cards all about? Anybody remember? Yeah, reaching out to our neighbors. And so the card had our house right in the middle of it, and then we had neighbors all the way around us. I know some of us are challenged in our community because we got so many people coming in from the outside that we got vacated around us. That happens. But in my yard, I know that I've got neighbors all the way around me. And I've endeavored to try and find out a couple things about them. Who they are, what are their names, what do they do? What are their kids' names? That's been the harder one. And we've got some in our neighborhood that just come, go in their house, and close the door. And we don't see them. So it gets a little bit harder because you actually have to catch them. But I want to show my gifts such a way that, not that I say, hey, I want to show you my spiritual gift today. Come on out here, I'm going to pastor you. I know one of my gifts is to pastor. How do I use that? How do I use that? I just love them where they're at. They're not perfect. Hey, guess what? Neither am I. But I have the love of Christ, and I've been given a love that I can share with others, and I can actually be available to pray with them, to care for them. You know, my neighbors know that. Some of them don't want it. That's totally fine. That's not going to stop me from loving them where they are anyways. But I want to use my spiritual gifts right there in the neighborhood, and that brings the aroma of Christ from this place where we are all together, where we can actually talk about this stuff together, we can unpack some of this stuff, we can figure some of this out, and take it back to our neighborhoods where God has given us the very open doors that He wants us to use. Each one of these passages is connected by the love of Christ. So how do we open our gifts? How do we actually use them? I think every believer in Christ is given a gift. No one's overlooked. You may not have the same gifts, or you may not have as many gifts, you think, as other believers. But you have just the gift that God wanted you to have, to use. Someone I know believes that we've got all the gifts. And somehow we just need to figure out when to use them and how to use them. I'm not sure about that. But I know I know that he has showed me some of the gifts that he's given me, and now I have a responsibility to actually use them. So we open our gifts. If we've got a gift, and we know that no one's overlooked, you may not have the same gift as me or maybe your neighbor, but you know that God has given you a gift. 1 Corinthians 12:11, it says, "It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all of these gifts, and he alone decides which gift each person should have." So depending on who's counting, there's anywhere from 15 to 25 different spiritual gifts that are listed in the New Testament. And there's some different groupings, and so I thought I'd put those out for you too. There's some different groupings. There's service gifts like administration and pastoring and faith and giving and helps and serving and hospitality and mercy. There's speaking gifts like wisdom and prophecy and evangelism and exhortation and leadership and teaching. And there's also sign gifts of discernment, of miracles, of healings, of tongues, of interpretation. Let me illustrate just a little bit. Suppose someone here spilled their coffee this morning. Like little Judah was walking around with a spilled coffee cup. He wasn't walking around yet. I mean, he was in a stroller getting strolled around. But, you know, if you spilled your coffee today, here's how maybe some of these gifts, you know, different gifts would be responded to in this way. This is how people would respond with different gifts. So, somebody spilled their coffee. Person with the gift of service would say, "Hey, let me help you clean it up." Maybe the person with the gift of mercy says, "I'm so sorry that happened. Let me get you another cup of coffee." You know these people, don't you? You recognize them around you. The gift of giving. "Oh, here, you can have my cup. Hope you like double-double. I just slobbered in the last half of it. It's okay." The gift of administration. "Okay, Jan, right? Okay, Jan, would you get the mop? Scott, I want you to please help pick this up. And Joyce, could you just go and get another cup of coffee?" Gift of administration. Gift of faith. "Hey, where God empties one cup, he's always going to fill another." The gift of teaching. "If you pay attention, you won't spill your coffee next time." The gift of exhortation. "Maybe you should let someone else hold your coffee for you." The gift of wisdom. "No use crying over spilled coffee." The gift of miracles. "Hey, let's ask God to put another coffee back in the cup." Put that coffee back in the cup. The gift of healing. "Hey, I'm praying against the physical and emotional trauma caused by this spilled coffee." The gift of prophecy. "If you keep doing that, you're going to get burned." There, you got a good idea of what your spiritual gift is now, right? Figured out yours? But seriously, there's ways for us to actually stop and figure out, discover what our gifts are. And I want to talk about that and just kind of unpack three ways that we can discover our gifts. And the first way is, I think, the pinnacle, the most important way, and that is to seek the giver of the gifts first. John chapter 14 is where Jesus told us about the one who was coming, the one who would fill us with power from on high. And in John chapter 14, 15 and 17, he says, "If you love me," Jesus said, "if you love me, you will obey what I command. And I'm going to ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you, and he will be in you." God's not some cosmic gumball machine in the sky dispensing gifts to anyone who asks. The gift must always be secondary to the giver. Relationship is the key. We need to seek God first. Fix our eyes on him. Surrender to him, even as Pastor Matt spoke a few weeks ago. I love the illustrations that he used about his own life and some of the things that he needed to surrender to. It was beautiful. And when we surrender to the giver of the gifts, that's the point. We obey him. I remember some friends of mine who came to Christ about the same time as me, and they went to a charismatic church, and it was beautiful. I loved going there. I went many times. I loved the beautiful spirit of worship and prayer, and I was able to connect with God in a way that my Alliance church, I couldn't. I don't know why, but there was just something beautiful there. The aroma was beautiful. It was different aroma. It was okay. And I remember going. And one night at a home gathering, the host looked at me square in the eyeballs, and he asked me if I spoke in tongues. And I said, no. They asked me directly, do you want to? And I said, yeah, that would be really cool. I'd experienced some of this church and how they use this gift of tongues. And in some settings, it is so beautiful in the midst of worship to hear God use this beautiful singing prayer language. It's gorgeous. I don't think it's for every church. I'm okay with that. But there, I wanted to be a part of that. And so I said, yeah. I said, yeah, I'd like that. So they gathered around me, and in a very beautiful way, they laid hands on me with this authentic prayer. They prayed over me that I would be filled with the Holy Spirit, and as a sign, it would be given. I would be given the gift of tongues. And after they finished, they asked me if I was ready. Oh, yeah, are you ready? Okay, I'm ready. Okay, just open your mouth and let them out. Nothing. Nothing came out. I thought I was broken. They thought I was broken. They actually told me, some of them told me, something's not right with you. Something's not right with you. You're not able to speak in tongues. And for a long time, I was really messed up over that. I was broken. I'll tell you why I was broken. At that point and in that time of my life, I wasn't ready to surrender my life. I was not ready. I accepted the Lord, but I hadn't yet surrendered to him. I'll tell you what did happen when I did surrender and some people prayed for me that I would be filled with the Holy Spirit. I sang a song. It came out of me. Not prompted by me, not thought by me. It came out of me. I do not have the gift to speak in tongues. I love how I was encouraged by Scripture that, I mean, Paul just said straight out, does everybody speak in tongues? No, they don't. And I'm challenged with that sometimes with my friends, but I've decided I'm going to let it go. I've decided I'm going to let that go because it's okay. I know that God has confirmed his spirit in me with the gifts that he has given me, and now he's given me responsibility not just to keep seeking after one that I don't have, but actually use the ones that he's given me with the responsibility that comes with that. You know what? I really believe that I was pursuing the gifts instead of the giver. And I got stuck there. I've since come to believe that the Scriptures are as they read. Not all speak in tongues. I know that I've been filled with the Spirit, and I know that God has blessed me with gifts for his kingdom. And so I changed my focus from what can I do for God to what does God want to do in me? What does God want to do through me? For me, that was a game changer. Changed everything. God is far more interested in your character than in your charisma. That whole idea, the whole concept of charisma or charismatic, it comes from that Greek word of gift. And it's beautiful. It's a beautiful term. And I love my brothers and sisters who choose to worship and use their gifts in that way. And we've come to an understanding where we can love one another and work together with each other to further God's kingdom together. with different gifts. See, God wants to accomplish something. He doesn't go looking for someone who has the right gifts. He looks for someone with the right heart. I love the illustrations all the way through Scripture that he's not looking for people with gifts. He's looking for the heart. David is a beautiful example. He had the right heart. And God used him and equipped him with the right gifts. Paul, I think, is another one. Paul, before his conversion, didn't have the right heart, but when he met the Lord, he was crushed in his spirit and humbled, and his heart became right, and God filled him and used him in powerful ways. We have to have the right heart. The only way to refine your character is through seeking God first. Second thing we need to do to discover our gifts is to actually open the gift. If you're a believer, you have been given a gift, but many of you haven't yet opened it. I think some of us are afraid to open. I think some of us are afraid to investigate what my spiritual gift might be. The enemy, I think, really loves this. He uses sin in our lives to keep us from sharing and using these gifts. He loves to use our stubbornness to hold us back. He loves to see the truth held back. And even attempts to suppress the Spirit's work in our lives. And James 4:10, I love it, says, "Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up." Humble yourself before the Lord and he will do the filling and using you for the furtherance of his kingdom. He'll fill you with the power that you need for the everyday and for the special moments. I've experienced that myself. So there's many ways that we can go about investigating what our spiritual gift or gifts are that you've been given. And, you know, I just want to, before I even say this next part, I think there's sometimes a danger that when we want to go and experience and find out what my gift is, you know, there's tests that we can use. I actually have paper ones up in my office if you want to use one of those little tests. You can use it, but the challenge is that when I find out that my gift is pastoring, that I'm not going to go and serve, because that's not my gift. Can't do that. I'm challenged with that whole concept. I'm challenged with the idea that when I learn what my spiritual gift is, it's going to stop me from doing anything else. I loved what you said, Marilyn. You felt prompted by the Lord. Oh, when we are prompted by the Lord, we had better get off our donkeys and do something. So, I think that there's great tools out there. I mean, all you have to do is go to Google and say, spiritual gifts test. The first or second one that pops up, they're fantastic. Very well put together and very well done. To be able to help you, this is just a start of the journey. It's not the end of the journey. Don't take what that, you do that, you know, I sit down there and I say, I'm going to find out what my spiritual gift is. I'm going to go through these 78 questions and I'm going to know what my spiritual gifts are. I don't believe that. I think that you need to do that, but you need to test what frame of mind you're in before you do any of those inventories, whether it's a personality profile or a spiritual gifts inventory. You can change your attitude as you're doing the test. You ever done that? Anybody ever done an inventory and said, you know, I'm going to answer these questions the way I want to be, not the way that I really am? Yeah, it's easy. We can manipulate these things all day long. It's really important for us when we're going to do a spiritual inventory like that. We need to actually start with prayer. Seek the giver first. And then go in and take the test. But here's the challenge. Why don't you get your best friend to take the test for you as well? So that it's not just my word on what my gifts are. It's also my best friend's concept of who I am. And then take the two and match them up. Check them out. Another way to do it is maybe you don't like those spiritual gift inventories. That's totally fine. Go to Scripture. Make the list. And then sit down with your friend and say, okay, I want you to pick what you think the top three gifts of mine are, and I'm going to do yours, and then I'm going to do mine, and you do yours, and we're going to then just kind of, you know, measure up and see. That's a great way to do it as well. Because some people absolutely know what gifts are. There's a lady in the back row. I won't tell you her name, but it might be Harrison in the end. I can tell you that one of your gifts is the gifts of helps, of serving. How in the world do I know that? If you knew the work that this lady did, and I'm going to be in trouble after the service, but she is a server. She uses her gifts all over the place. She lavishes her love all over the church. And that's beautiful. It's confirmation. We need to do that for one another as well. This is a way that we find out what some of our gifts are, is we need to actually connect with one another. Maybe don't stop with just your best friend. Maybe go on to some other people around you. Maybe some of those that you're maybe in ministry with. You know, you're all serving together on the hospitality team. Talk about what do you think my spiritual gifts are? Or maybe on the worship team, what do you think my spiritual gifts are? Help me out with that, because I want to learn a little bit more of this. I encourage you to use a tool like this. Some have, but have someone that's close to you help you with that. Or use a list of gifts and do the same there. Just because some test says that you have the gift of knowledge doesn't mean that you should just sit on it and declare that this is the only way that God is going to use you. You know what? I know that I don't have the gift of doing laundry, but, big but, I bet I could do it if I had to. I think we need to remember the reason for the gifts. And the third way is to give it away. Remember, the gift that God has given to you is not for your own benefit. It's given to give away to others. It is given us to share. For by the grace, this is Romans chapter 12. This is an amazing passage. If you don't have some of this marked in your Bible, you should. But Romans chapter 12, beautiful spot that talks about these gifts. Starting at verse 16. Not 16, starting at verse 3. I've got 16 in here because that's the number of slide. Sorry. Starting in verse 3, it says, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith that God has given you." Verse 4 says, "Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift or a woman's gift is prophesying, let them use it in proportion to their faith. If it's serving, let them serve. If it's teaching, let them teach. If it's encouraging, let them encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of others, let them give generously. If it's leadership, let them govern diligently. If it's showing mercy, let them do it cheerfully. Right in the middle here is our memory verses for this week. Verse 4 to 6 that say, just as each one of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body. Here we are. Some of you are visiting with us. Well, guess what? Today you are a part of this body, the body of Christ, right here, celebrating all that we have. You've already used some of your gifts here today. We belong to one another. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each one of us. At least mark it in your Bible, but boy, put that one to memory. Put it in. And let me finish this way. You don't discover your gift by studying the Bible. You don't discover your gift by taking assessments. Those things help, but you primarily discover your gifts by using them. And if you feel that God is prompting you to do something, Marilyn, do it. I love the beauty of what you did today for us. And it came from the prompting of God. Don't feel like you have to have the skills to pull it off. Well, good. That's the best place for us to be. Because then it's not about us, and it's not supposed to be about us. It's supposed to be about God seeing, about people around us seeing God working in and through our lives, and us blossoming because of His work in us. Oh, you are exactly the kind of person that God likes to use if you're feeling that way. You're primed, you're ready for the Holy Spirit in you and through you. Don't determine your response to God by looking at your gifts. Look at your God and respond yes. And He will equip you for the work that He wants you to do. God doesn't call the gifted, He gifts the called. So stop making excuses that you don't have anything to offer God, and stop worrying about what you can do for God. Ask God what He wants to do in you, what He wants to do through you, and be ready to respond. Howie and the team's going to come and sing a song. And this song is another oldie goldie. But I think that it's one that we can sing today. And we can sing it in a way that we resonate with the words of the song. Because what Christ has called us to, He's called us to be the light of the world. And a light that's not hidden under a bush. You know, we all sing that song, right? Hide it under a bush. Oh no, I'm going to let it shine. Right? But He's called us not to hide it, not to... He's called us to put it on a lampstand. He's called us to live our life in such a way that we would shine. And the people around us would see God's work in us. And they would glorify Him in heaven. This is what we are called to.